Well, I've been praying, oh God, help me. No. And he does. Thank God. That's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? Anybody ever prayed that? Oh God, help me. I'm not sure what to do. But he knows just what to do. Isn't that wonderful? That God has not failed us, amen, in any way. And he never will. He is faithful. And he's given us his word to give us something other than just what we think in our own mind and what our flesh wants to try to dictate to us to do, and what the world tries to tell us to do. He gives us his word as a sure foundation, doesn't he? He gives us something other than our flesh to govern our life by. When our mind, when all of our feelings want to tell us that God is not who he said he is, we have his word as a sure foundation that we can go to. We say, God, this is what you said. Hallelujah. You see, he said, Ephesians 5 says, be followers of God as dear children, Paul said, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. I just always think that's interesting. He said, as Christ has loved us. Again, we saw over in John 14:34 that we're to walk in love as Jesus loved us. And so sometimes it's important, I think, the easy part comes is when we realize how much God loved us, then it's a lot easier for us to love, isn't it? See, there's God's side and there's man's side to every situation. There's what God has said, and sometimes there's a part, there is also a part that we play, you and I. And what I believe the Lord wants me to talk a little bit about tonight is believing that I receive. You said, what? That's pretty simple. I know how to believe, I receive. But there are conditions and certain things that we must do to set ourselves in agreement with what God said, that we may be firmly established to be able to receive what we have believed for. Because he said in Mark 11:23-24, let's go there just for a moment. That's going to be my first scripture here tonight. Well, besides what I just shared. Because he's saying here, he said, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. He's a sweet-smelling savor. That the sacrifice that Jesus gave, when we realize the love that he paid, and we understand that love, and we know he loves us, then it's easier for us to walk in that love. In the same way, when we know what God has said concerning any situation, when we say, hey, this is what God has said, that's the beginning of our foundation. If where I'm standing here, okay, let's go to Mark first. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to Mark. Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, whatever things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. So he says here, he says, whatever we what desire, we're going to desire something. Then we're going to pray. And the third thing is we're going to what? Believe that we receive it. Now, if I'm going to, if this right here, where I'm standing, is believing that I receive it, say this platform is, right? And first I've got to desire something. If I'm going to desire, let's just use tonight, for example, I want to use healing tonight because that's a lot of things that people face. We face the battle in the flesh. Many people want to be healed. They desire to be healed. And many people pray. But do we really come to the place sometimes to where we believe that we receive that? God wants to give it. So, well, how do you know that? Because of what His Word has said. So the first thing is we've got to believe something. Okay? Let's go. I'm going to show something else real quickly in Hebrews chapter 11. Stay here in Mark. We may come back there. I'm not going to make a promise. But we want to believe that we receive, okay? You said, well, why are you talking about this tonight? Because this is something God put in my heart here. My spirit, I should say. You say, well, did you just think it up? No. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11. And let's just read this. Let's just start in the first verse. I'm going to read 1 through 6 here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, if we're looking or we're hoping for something, then it's something that we desire, right? Something that we want. There's something that we're looking for. We can hope. We can have an expectation of it because it's what God said. For it is the elders, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaks. Yet he speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, and he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. If he pleased God, he must have been in faith, because the next verse says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, there's some things that we should do, but there's other things that we must do. Okay, I should wash my car, but I must put gas in it if I want to go anywhere. Okay, I should change the oil. That's a good thing to do, but I have to make sure there's enough water in the coolant or it's going to overheat and I'm not going to go anywhere. I must. Okay? So he said, without faith it's impossible to believe God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Now we could go, you know, and some translations have said that he existed, but I don't think that works too well, because the Bible never proves or tries to prove the existence of God. See, it says that God is a spirit. Hallelujah. They that worship him can worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not, the Bible doesn't try to prove that God is. But a lot of times people say they read the Bible. And I'm not saying everyone, but a large part of the body of Christ. And maybe you believe that. And I believed that at one time because of wrong teaching. Even though God saved me somewhat. But people would say, well, you know, Jesus, what? He healed all the people in the Bible. In other words, they believe Jesus was. Well, only Jesus can do that. Jesus did do that. But they're a was-er and not an is-er. You see, they believe Jesus was, but the Bible says we must believe that he is. In other words, he is the healer now. Okay? Now if I must believe that he is, and the second thing it says here, and, so he's not done yet, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I must believe he is, and that he's a rewarder. I'm trying to come to the place of where I am to believing that I receive when I pray. Now, hallelujah. If we look at the Word of God, we can see the truth. What I've got to do then is I've got to base myself not on my experience. See, a lot of people put their trust and their faith in what they have experienced. Well, my grandmother died. My uncle died when he was 50, and my nephew, he died when he was 75. You know, and so-and-so died. So I don't think I'm going to live very long. Well, where'd you get your information from? From what you saw, right? From what you see. Everybody in my life died early. They died young. I had a friend of mine, he keeps telling me, well, my dad died at 63. My mother died at 62. I'm almost 60. In other words, the point is, he's thinking, you know, I may not have much longer to go. But we don't place it upon the natural, do we? We want to put our faith in what God has said. And when we place it in what God has said, then things change. If you want to change something, then we've got to take what He has said. And there has to be a foundation in what God said in order for us to come to the place where we believe that we receive. Because a lot of times we desire for things and we pray about things, but do we really have a foundation in us to take us to that place? I believed, I've received, therefore I will have it. See, that's really the place called done. Because I know. Well, how do you know, Brother Doug? Because I believe. Well, how did you get your belief? You got your belief from an accumulation of knowledge. Not knowledge that we gained in the naturals, we already talked about. We can look around and get all kinds of knowledge. But we want knowledge that comes from God, from His Word, what He said. The knowledge of what the Lord has already declared, what He has promised us. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21. I'm just going to give the example tonight concerning healing, because we all face that from time to time. But this will work, whether it's financial, whether it's in your the salvation of your children. Okay? What we're going to do is we're going to look at some things here. We're going to see something here with the brazen serpent, Numbers 21. I want to read 4 through 9 right now. Hallelujah. If we don't get done tonight, we'll just finish up another time. Praise the Lord. I'm going to try to take it slow and get us to understand. There's some things that we must do. We must believe that He is. Not that He was. But see, you can be a person that believes that He was. And you can become a person that believes that God is. Hallelujah. Well, you say, well, how do I do that? There's a transformation that takes place from the Word of God. Because when you decide, we have to make a decision that the Word of God is going to govern my life and not my experience and not what I see other people go through, but what God has said, what He has promised, what He has guaranteed, based upon what He did through His blood. Hallelujah. See, He paid a higher price than any other person. He gave His all, His life. The Bible says the life is in the blood. And that blood cries out for you. Just like it brought salvation, it brought every promise that goes along with it. Hallelujah. We'll see that tonight. I need to try to stay on task so we can get through some of this. But hallelujah. 21. Chapter 21, verse 4. Glory to God. This is good news tonight. It said, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Would you bring us out here for Moses? We're going to die. There was no bread, neither is there any water, and your soul loathed this light bread. Uh-oh. Anybody ever get tired? You know, you're working with God and God's providing for you, but, you know, it just seems like the same thing over and over. You know? Anybody ever hear, you know, everybody ever hear of this place? It's called the prayer center, and they keep talking about praying in tongues. You know, and you said, I've been coming here 20-some years or 5 years, or maybe it's been 3 months. You say, all I hear about is praying in other tongues. Well, don't loathe the bread that God's giving. We've got to take it and eat it and make it a part of us. Hallelujah. I don't know. That was just a commercial, I think. But anyway, we don't want to loathe this light bread or the provision that he has given us. If you're on beans and rice, you know, don't loathe what he's given you. The Bible also says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. What is my, Lord, when's my ministry going to just start? Right now. You're in your ministry. Well, where is it? It's right here. It's in you. It's with you. It's all around you. There's people every day that you pass that are in need of hope, that are in need of healing. Hallelujah. And you're the answer. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Well, they were murmuring and complaining against Moses. What'd you bring us out here for? What's the matter with you? We don't like it here. We want to go back to Egypt, where we feel safe, where we understand everything. And yeah, it was hard labor, but you know, at least we had water and food. You know, and sometimes, you know, we don't want to look back like Lot's wife to a sinful life, do we? We want to look forward to the God life that he had. But so they were complaining, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the Lord came to Moses and said, we have sinned. The people came to Moses, excuse me. The Lord didn't come to Moses, but the people came to Moses. They said, we have sinned. Thank you, Lord. That's the greatest revelation they got yet. We have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you, against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And this is a place here where we see the type of Christ. The serpent is put upon the pole. The sin was paid for. They looked upon that fiery serpent and they began to live. It shows healing that was in Jesus. When he was put upon that cross, when he was whipped and the stripes that were put upon his back for us. And then he was set on that pole, wasn't he? He was put on the cross and he paid a price of healing for us. In Exodus chapter 12, let's go there. I may have several scriptures tonight, but that's all right. We're trying to show something here because we want a foundation that is sure, amen? So that we know when we pray, when we desire something, we pray, we're going to come to the place where we can believe that we receive it and we're on firm ground. You see, the Bible says faith is the substance. It's the ground. It's the one person says the title deed to what you are believing for. That faith that's on the inside of you can receive from God. Hallelujah. So here we see it. We see it in the brazen serpent, don't we? That healing was provided. Exodus chapter 12. Start at verse 5. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to slow down. I'm not going to try to get in a rush tonight. I keep saying that, but for some reason, I'm excited. This is good news. Hallelujah. There is a firm foundation that God has given us. Glory to God. And when we obtain knowledge, faith begins to come. See, knowledge helps to produce faith. When we take God's word, we say, it is true. I have decided to believe your word, Father. And knowledge begins to come. Faith begins to rise on the inside. And we can believe, we can, number one, desire properly. So we're desiring what God's already wants for us. Hallelujah. And we pray, what, with faith. And we can believe we receive with confidence. Because a lot of times people want something, they ask God, and then they just say, well, I guess he didn't want me to have it. Well, why did they say that? Because their foundation was not sure. They didn't have a good foundation when they prayed. They didn't believe Jesus wants me well right now. That's the first step. If you're going to receive a healing, Jesus wants me well right now. That's what we're establishing. He wants me to be healed. Not a maybe, not a hope so. I know, based on what God showed in the brazen serpent. We see here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. I'm getting there. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm so excited about this tonight, but I am. Y'all must be praying for me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anyway, it says, okay, now what he's talking about here is the Exodus that they took out of Egypt. And he says, your lamb, he's talking about the lamb. Says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Hallelujah. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides, on the two side posts, and the upper doorposts of the houses where they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with its pure tenants thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girt, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Okay? So he's saying here, they're getting ready to leave Egypt. And he's telling them to get the Passover lamb together. Make sure it's without blemish. Of course, this is the type of Christ. He had no blemish. He was the perfect sacrifice for us. But here he's saying, take that blood, put it on the door. Put on each side of the door and over the top. Well, don't you think it probably dripped off the top there? You've got the cross of God that's coming, the cross that would come to Christ. That's just one thing. I'm not trying to get all the types tonight. I'm trying to share tonight within this right here. God is saying, take this lamb, eat of that lamb. Let that lamb become a part of you and roast it. Don't leave anything left. Know that I'm getting ready to take you out of where you are. Where are they? They're bound in Egypt. He said, I'm getting ready to pull you out of the land of Egypt, in the place of suffering, in that place of sin, or that place of sickness that you may be in. I'm getting ready to take you out. Because when we see here in Psalm 105, what does it say? There wasn't a feeble person among them. You see, it was, let's go there real quickly, Psalm 105. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need to slow down a little bit. I'm trying to teach a little bit and I'm keep preaching. But praise the Lord, He loves me. And He loves all of us. But it's good news. There's good news tonight. Hallelujah. 105, verse 34 through 38. Okay? It says, and he spake, and the locusts came, caterpillars, and that without number. Am I in the right chapter? Yeah. Okay. And did eat up all the herbs in the land, and devoured the fruit thereof. And he smote also the firstborn of the land, and the chief of their strength. And he brought them forth also with silver and gold. Hallelujah. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was so glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. We see there was not one feeble person among them. They were also prospered. They just started giving stuff to them. Well, why? Because the plagues, they were tired of it. They've had enough, and finally the final plague comes. The firstborn of every man is going to die because they would not let God's people go. See, when the devil won't let you go, God's going to force him. Hallelujah. And you need to come out prosperous and with health. Glory to God. That's the promise of God. He set it up here. So we see the brazen altar and the Passover lamb. So we can say this is number one on our foundation here, okay? The brazen altar and the Passover lamb. Hallelujah. Well, let's look again here. Let's go to hallelujah. Well, let's go to John 14 real quickly. I may go to several scriptures tonight, and I'm not going to apologize for it. It's just the way it is. Hallelujah. It's just the way it's come to me, and I'm going to share it the best I can. Hallelujah. And I'm not trying to get in a big hurry tonight, but it's just exciting what God is doing. If we can come to that place, right, we can desire something. Why? Because God promised it. And a lot of times people know God promised it. We know that in our mind. But it's not really strong enough to support us. It's in us in a measure. But we have to be, well, we'll get there. We've got to be fully persuaded, don't we? Hallelujah. See? Because that's what faith does. Abraham was fully persuaded. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm, you know, if something happens and you don't respond exactly perfect right away, it's okay. Do you know Sarah didn't? She started laughing. But many people said, well, that's the laugh of faith. No, it was the laugh of doubt and unbelief. She didn't believe it could happen. She didn't think it's going to happen. But the Bible says Sarah received strength to believe. How? Because Abraham told her what God said. She began to believe what God said. She received strength to believe, to receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's not always the first answer. Okay? If something hits your life, don't freak out because you said the wrong thing. Just change. Just stop. Go back and say, okay, what do I need, Lord? What am I standing on? What does your word say in this situation? We see here the Passover lamb, the brazen serpent. Lord, you promised it. You said you brought them out with gold and silver. Maybe it's finances your problem. Well, then you're going to find some finance, aren't you? In the word of God. He became poor for me, that I through his poverty might be rich. He who spared not his own son, but freely will give to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He didn't spare his own son. He who didn't, how will he not also much more freely give us all things, right? Glory to God. He's going to provide what? Every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not telling you have to have 100 scriptures. But if you've got 4 or 5 good scriptures that mean something to you, now you're getting to the place where, hey, I've got a ground. I've got faith. I've got strong enough. I'm strong enough to desire. I'm desiring it because I know I need it, you know. I'm going to ask for it. And I'm going to believe now that I receive based on what he said. I'm going to be able to stand. I'm going to be on firm foundation. I'm going to have a large platform, a good foundation that's firm. It's not going to break down because I know what he said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyway, John 14:10. I keep getting ahead of myself or running off here. So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, yeah, we'll just pass that one. Okay. John 14:10. It says, believe thou not. And we were here the other day. But he says, Jesus is talking here. And says, believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. So we're seeing here what I want us to take a look at right now is that John, let's go to John, just hang on to that scripture there a minute. We know that the words, the point I'm trying to say here is that what Jesus said, he said as he heard from the Father, okay? And he did the works that he saw his Father do. So we can see God's will in his words and his work. Okay? So I want to look at a few places tonight where we see Jesus' will and we see Jesus' work. Okay? His words and his works. Okay, John 12:49. Let's go there real quickly here. Just a little bit back here. For I've not spoken of myself, Jesus says, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that commandment is life everlasting. So he's saying here what he says, I didn't get that, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. He told me what I should say, and he said what I should speak. Hallelujah. So Jesus is speaking what the Father says by commandment. Father says, Son, this is what I want you to say. Hallelujah. This is what I want you to speak. Glory to God. Okay, let's go to Mark 10 for a moment. Verse 40 through 43. Somebody writing all these down for me? No, I'm just kidding. I've got them right here. I don't know why I said that. Sorry. Anyway. Okay. Jesus says, but to sit on my... Okay. Okay, he's talking here and he says, and the mother of John comes and she wants her sons to sit on the right, one on the left when you come into your kingdom, Jesus. And he says, but to sit on the right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be, so shall it not be among you. But whoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And so what Jesus began to minister, he said, who's going to be great among you? But those that become your minister, those that are going to minister to you. And anyway, hallelujah. The point is that Jesus is showing here, he said, it's not of me. It's of my Father. He said, it's not my decision who sits on the right and on the left. It's up to my Father. I'm under commandment. In other words, I'm not doing my own thing here. I didn't come down to the earth to show you nothing. I came to show you the Father, exactly who he is. That's what I'm trying to establish here. He said, I can't tell you who's going to sit on the right and the left. If you can drink of me, you're going to be with me. I know that much. You know, if you can partake of me, you'll be with me. But I can't tell you who's going to be on the right and the left. That's of my Father's decision. I came to do the will of my Father. Hallelujah. So we see that Jesus came to speak the words of the Father under commandment, to do the will of the Father under his commandment. It wasn't of his own. It wasn't of his own making. Hallelujah. So we see here that the words of Jesus are words that can be relied upon, that it's the Father's will. Hallelujah. Let me see here. How do you want to do this, Lord? Thank you, Father. So we see that Jesus revealed that will, the Father's will, to us in his word. Okay? Okay, let's go to, so we've got the words of Jesus, okay? I want to share a little bit here right now and look at some of the things that Jesus commanded his disciples to do. Okay? We see that his words, Jesus' words and his commands were that of his Father's. So Matthew 10:1. Let's go there for a minute. I don't know if I've got too many scriptures. I've just got a lot tonight. But it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." So Jesus is here and he says to the 12, "You go and do what I've been doing." Now we already established his words and his actions are under that of the Father. He said, "I'm not making my own decisions here, but I'm telling them what I hear the Father saying." He's saying to his disciples, "Now you go and you heal the sick just like I am." Now, if it's not God's will to heal, then why is he commissioning his disciples to go and heal? What, all manner of sickness? Not some, but all. All manner of diseases, every one, right? So you don't have a special case that can't be healed. "Yeah, but you don't understand, brother. Nobody's had this disease. I'm the only one." And sometimes we feel that way when we get attacked. You know, we think we're, you know, it's the enemy wants us to believe, isn't it? You're the only one. I'm the only one that's ever gone through this kind of situation. It doesn't matter if it's healing or anything else, but, you know, or something else. He wants to, "Well, I'm the only one. You know, no one's ever been hurt as bad as I have. I'm special." No, someone has been hurt just as bad and understands how you feel, and his name is Jesus. I may not understand the depth of your pain, but Jesus understands the depth of your pain. He has paid the price, and he has promised. He says to the 12, "Now you guys go." So we see that commission that Jesus gave the 12. In Luke 10, we see the commission that Jesus gave to the 70. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. One through nine. It says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them out two and two before his face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said to them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways beyond. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip, shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter first, say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you." Now, that's a good rule if you go somewhere. At least, you know, sometimes, I don't know why I'm getting off on that, but sometimes people may give you something you don't like too much, but, you know, but there's ways to kind of help you get around that. You know, at least try to eat a little bit. And I know one time I had some things I didn't like too much, but I just kind of mixed it with a few other things. And, you know, I'm not as hungry as I thought I was. I'm sorry. Can you, you know, I appreciate the food. You eat a little bit and just, you know, kind of pass off. You know, you just have to go on, because sometimes there's things that are difficult to eat. I'll just say that. So, you know, so yeah, I remember one of my teachers one time was sharing how he went to this lady's house, and he had to go because she was making fried chicken. I mean, you know, when a woman cooks for you, you can't say no. You can't just say, "Well, I'm not coming," you know. So he felt he had to go, and he was all excited, and they had the chicken. It was good, said, and all this. And she says, "Well, would you like some dessert?" I said, "Yeah, I'll take some of that coconut raisin cake over there." And so he walked over, and she goes, "Shoo," and all the flies flew off the cake. And in that little cake, you could see the little tunnels. You know, he said after she cut him a piece, and And he gingerly ate a little bit. And like I say, you know, he just kind of had to, oh, I'm just getting so full. It's so good and so rich, you know. Hallelujah. You're not lying. You're just, you know, trying to be kind. Verse 8, I don't know why I got off on all that, but okay. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come unto you. So Jesus is commissioning again. He says, go out, heal the sick. He said, and tell them the kingdom's come to you. Hallelujah. We see healing. I mean, Jesus is going to tell them what the will of the Father. We know that. So he tells these 70, go out and heal the sick. And tell them the kingdom of God's come to you. And then in Mark 16, we see the great commission to the church, don't we? Let's go to Mark 16, 15 through 20. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned, and these things shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So Jesus is saying here again, we see his words, it's in red in my Bible, maybe you don't have red in yours, but this it said right here, and he said, he's talking about Jesus. Because you look at the 14th verse after he appeared to them, the 11, he just got raised from the dead. He said, here, this is what I want you to do. In verse 18, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we see these three commissions right here. The 12 were sent out, heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. We see the 70 sent out, heal the sick that are therein. We see the commission of the church, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I think we could say, well, okay, if Jesus, we know that Jesus wouldn't say anything. We can say here, the commission that he gave to the church, to the 12 disciples, and to the church, to the 70, to the church. The will of the Father is to heal all. Hallelujah. The will of the Father is to heal all. We're trying to get ourselves to that place. We are firmly established. I believe, I received when I prayed. Based on what? On what he said. Now it's in any area of your life, but we're looking at healing tonight. You say, well, why are you looking at him? Because it faces a lot of people. There's a lot of people that need to be healed. I see them every day. Young, old. You know, in America, I'm just appalled how many young people right now, you know, they're facing things. They got mental issues, problems with the mind. In these last days, there's going to be a lot of people that need deliverance. A lot of people need to be set free. They're tormented by the devil. Hallelujah. That's the truth of it. We can put a name on it, and, you know, you talk to the world, they really don't know what to do with them. Well, we don't know what to do for that person. We just, you know, they just kind of go around and, you know, the same things happen. They feed them and clothe them and keep them alive, praise God. But we're pressing to that place. Amen. Where they're healed, where they're freed. First time, every time, right? Glory to God. Okay. We looked at John 14, 9, didn't we? Let's go back to John chapter 14. I'm just going to start right here. John, we already established that, but I'm going to read it again. John 14, verse 9. Well, we didn't read 9, we read 10. But we're going to back up one verse here in John 14. But I preached on this the last time I administered here. But Jesus says unto them, him, have I been so long with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then, show us the Father? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we could say through the actions of Jesus, we can see the will of the Father. We saw that through the words of Jesus, through the commission that Jesus gave to the disciples, to the 70, to the church. And we see here the revealed will of the Father through the actions of Jesus. Now, these verses have been shared here before, but I'm going to share them again. Let's look at a few for the actions of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. These are all in the book of Matthew, okay? Very simple. And I know many of you have heard it before, but just, it does us good. How many know it's football season, right? How many know when they started training, a lot of the coaches come out, and what do they say? They say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And everybody goes, "Duh." You know, "Duh, coach, we know that's a football." But that's where they start. This is a football. Why? Because the fundamentals are so important. Because if you start fumbling the ball, then you're going to lose the game. If they don't remember, hey, this is what it's about, guys. This is a game. This is important. You know, we want to win. I mean, I'm not saying football is all that important, but but it is to the people that are playing it. They're paying them big money not to drop that ball. You know? And they might pass it around. Feel that ball. Get it in you again. Get a hold of it again. So if you hit a problem or the trial, we want to take the Word of God. We're giving some scriptures tonight so you can get in it again. And take the Word of God and say, "This is my foundation, Lord. Based on what you said, based on your commission, based on what the brazen, you know, we saw the brazen serpent and the Passover lamb, there was healing provided, Lord. Based on what you said and your commission to the church, you want everybody to be well. Based on what you did, Jesus," hallelujah, we're looking at right now, "we know that you want to be, you want everyone to be healed. You want me to be healthy and whole." And see, sometimes we look at, and people, we stress man's side without really giving the fullness of what God accomplished. See, if we can see what God has done. You know, if somebody wants to be born again and they're not, you know, we don't just go up. Alan shared, you know, where he had the guy, he tricks everybody into getting saved. "Just repeat after me." Well, did they get born again? The Bible says you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. They didn't have enough information to really receive God into their life. You have to know who He is, that He took your place, right, in order to be born again. Then you have faith to say, "Oh, I believe in my heart. Yes, Jesus, you are Lord. Come into my life." But until I've got enough information, I don't have the faith to act upon that. And when we receive God's Word, the information of what He said comes to us, and faith comes, and we can then act on what He said. We can take it, we can say, "All right, Lord, I'm ready to pray. I desire this. I see what You said, Lord. I'm getting ready. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be able to be strong in believing I've received it when I prayed, because I understand what You said. You have promised me that I'll be well. You've promised me that I'll have enough. You've promised me, Lord, and I can stand on what You said. It's going to give me firm enough ground, hallelujah, to stand strong when the winds of the enemy come, when the thoughts of the devil try to tell you, no, but I believe, hallelujah." All right, Matthew chapter 4. If we get these scriptures out, we'll have just a little more ammo. Amen. 23 and 24. Now, these are all in Matthew. Now, Gary shared these, but I'm going to share them anyway. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases, all kinds, and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them." Jesus took some hard cases and healed them. What the world would say is impossible, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of times, the reason I say that is I've been working somewhat at the day center, and there's many, several, I shouldn't say many, but a lot that have mental issues. Most of them are either depressed or they're oppressed, and some of them are close to, you know, they're at least seriously oppressed, if not possessed, and they're tormented. You know, one girl, I just weep sometimes. She's pretty good at night. She'll sleep through the night, you know, but they'll have to tell her two or three times to be quiet. And so they send me over there because I'm not talking to her. I'm talking to what's behind that. See, and I'll tell her to be quiet and she'll go to sleep. They said, well, how do you do that? I said, well, I just tell her. I don't know what to say, you know, because I don't want to get, you know, big trouble. They don't understand. Somebody that's not born again doesn't really understand. You know, and even some people that are born again don't really understand. You know, I'm trying to help this girl. And I told her, I said, listen, these are demons trying to torment you. Don't listen to them. Just go to sleep. But she'll go outside after that during the day. Many times in the hot sun, she'll lay out there and scream and yell about things all day long. They said, she'll stay out there all day. They don't know what to do with her. They don't know how to help her. But we know how to help her, amen? Bring them to Jesus. When we get the gospel in, the good news, Jesus will set you free. He healed all, right? Matthew 8. That means he'll heal you if you're suffering from sickness and disease of any kind. If you've got torments in your life, you've got a devil that keeps tormenting you, Jesus will set you free. He paid a high price. Glory to God. Acts 8, 16 and 17. Hallelujah. It says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Hallelujah. Where did it say that? Back in Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. 4 and 5. I'm not going to go there right now, but that's where he said it. But here we see that Jesus, he healed all that were sick. It's just interesting to me. He seems to put those that were, you know, sickness can come from a natural cause or it could be caused by a devil. Everybody says, what? Yeah. Because the devil likes to trespass on God's property, amen? We saw that in the garden, didn't we? Adam didn't kick him out, but you can kick him out. Hallelujah. Jesus made it away, brought it back to where you can kick him out. Adam could have kicked him out, but they didn't. But we get to kick him out. Glory to God. Jesus already destroyed his works, and you get to enforce it. Say, now get out of here. Start having a conversation. I know the gentleman I prayed for, I just said, cancer, get out of his body now. I mean, he came to me the other day again. He says, I just almost can't believe it. You know, hallelujah. We're trying to get people to believe. I understand that. And we can have it on our faith every time. You can believe and get it every time. Glory to God. Amen. 8, 16, and 17, we just read. Matthew 9, next chapter over, verse 35. Glory to God. Revival is here. Hallelujah. Are you going through the pages of revival with us tonight? Glory to God. Good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Right here. You ain't in revival. You can get into revival. You can see it right here. The life of Jesus and the disciples. Glory to God. It can be so real inside of you. You can walk in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory to God, I'm moving over. Hallelujah. Look out, devil, here we come. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm getting excited about this, but I am. Amen. We need to. We need to be excited because God paid a high price for you and I to have health and healing. You can be on firm ground. You can believe that you receive based on what He said. Not on our experience. I know, I've had people I prayed for, and I cried because they died. I'm sorry. That's the truth of it. I'm just being honest. You know, and God says, stop crying. Find the next one. Lay hands on them. Expect them to recover because I healed all. Not based on what I experienced, based on what he said. You know, I remember, I think it's Smith Wigglesworth that used to say that, you know, well, what are you going to do if they died? Next. You know, he'd get upset with some people. One guy got in the line the second time. What are you doing, trying to wear me out? I already prayed for you. What's the matter with you? Don't you believe? Hallelujah. You know, not that he was upset with them, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we need a little awakening. You know, the Bible says, wake from your slumber. We get a little sleepy. We forget, hey, Jesus paid a price. And it's good news. Whenever you get hungry for revival, we can go right here. Glory to God. We can see it. We can begin to envision it. You see him healing all those sick people. They're bringing them from all over. They're bringing all those demoniacs that are caught up in the hospital. They're bringing them to you. Or they're taking you to them. They're calling your house. Did you hear me? Well, I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it gets a little nervous. I know you're nervous right now, but that's all right. When they call your house and you go, then you do it afraid. Based on what he said. Not on what you feel. But I feel afraid. Well, fear will leave you as soon as that devil comes out. Hallelujah. It will happen through you. And we say, well, faith and fear can't operate. Well, you're not operating in fear. You're operating in faith because you're going and you're doing what he said. Fear is trying to stop you. Hallelujah. You know, we got to get over being afraid to ride in the elevator. We got to get beyond that. Amen. You know, if you are, ride in the elevator until you're not afraid. I remember when I was working at the pizza place and I got robbed. And I didn't quit on purpose. I said, no, send me back there. Why? Because the devil's trying to make me afraid to go to that complex. And I'm not going to let fear rule me. And I said, Lord, I'm not leaving until every time I go, I don't feel that fear anymore. Until I have conquered it. Because the first time I was shaken. I'm admitting it. I mean, somebody pulled a gun on me and tried to shoot me. It was fearful. And you said, well, I wouldn't have been afraid. I'd have just led him to Jesus. Yeah, like all the other people, they tried to tell me what they would do. I ran away. Hallelujah. As fast as I could go. And if you don't think this fat boy can run, you ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. I promise you. When fear, when that came on me, I could run. I'm telling you. Woo! I said, man, I ain't run like that in a while, Lord, but whew, thank you, Jesus. That's the time I was believing for the speed of Elijah. Thank you, Jesus. Here I go. I mean, I would that I was at that place where I said, sir, you know what you need is Jesus. In Jesus' name. Set those guns down. Now, come on. You need to listen here. You know? But I'm still alive. Hallelujah. I'm going to get another chance. Glory to God. Maybe if it was for the gospel's sake, I would have. I don't know. Maybe I'll find out one day. Glory to God. Woo. Matthew 9:35. That's what we just read, right? And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Glory to God. I'm really not trying to be funny. I'm sorry. But you can laugh. It's okay with me. I had to laugh about it too because I got back to the story, you know, and some of the other people aren't saved. I said, well, I'm glad it wasn't you. You know, I don't want you to miss heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. God cares about you. It's a good thing it was me. At least if something did happen to me, I know where I am. Glory to God. We already know where we're going. You know? That helps take care of a lot of fear. I'd have to say that to myself. I go back to that complex. I said, Lord, I'm not in fear. You get out of here. No, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going boldly. I remember the first time, one of the first times, I was kind of praying, you know, praying quiet. I thought I was praying more quietly in the spirit. You know, I didn't think anybody would hear me, but this guy heard me. He said, were you praying? I said, oh, yeah. Would you do me a favor, brother? Just kind of keep an eye on me. I got to go up to this apartment up here. And I got robbed the other day and, you know, I'm a little nervous. I told him the truth, you know. He says, yeah, I got your back, brother. I got your back. I said, I appreciate it, you know. That was the first time. So if you know, it's all right. Get some help, amen. Amen. It's all right. It's okay. If you need help, ask somebody to pray for you. Grace will come. God's bigger than all of our insecurities, all of our fears. Hallelujah. That's good news. Anyway, verse 14 of Matthew 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Glory to God. The compassion of Jesus began to move. We see it in the actions of Christ, what he did. So we saw healing in the brazen serpent, the Passover lamb. We see healing in that commission of Jesus, don't we? We see healing in what Jesus has said. We see healing in his actions. Glory to God. I think we're getting some firmer foundation to where we're going to begin to desire and pray, but we're going to believe we receive when we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. One more thing I'm going to share tonight. And that's that healing was in the plan of redemption. You said, well, we saw healing in the actions of Jesus. We saw healing when he commissioned them. We saw healing in the Old Testament under the Passover lamb, under the brazen serpent. But one more thing here. I'm going to share just three or four scriptures, where Jesus said, Matthew 8, as I said earlier, we're going to go to Isaiah 53 here in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to do this pretty quickly here. I know everybody's getting tired. And it's a school night. Hallelujah. You say, well, how do you know that? You ain't got no kids. But that's okay. I still know that. People that do. I've got nieces and nephews. And my sister's got 6 kids. My brother's got 5. So we're doing pretty good. Hallelujah. Matthew 8, 16 and 17 says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Okay, in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, or our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken of God, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sin. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. So we see here that they're talking about Jesus going to be crucified. We see it in the redemption plan of God. And of course, we saw in Matthew 8 where it was fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah. Himself bare our sicknesses. He carried what? He bare those sicknesses. Where did he take them? To the cross. Glory to God. He buried. He died under the penalty of that sickness and that disease. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24. Everybody knows that one, right? Well, maybe not everybody does. But most of us here anyway, right? Hallelujah. How many know human nature can be to forget sometimes? Glory to God. That's why I want to read it, make sure I don't misquote it. Anybody ever quoted a verse, for a while, and then you realize you was misquoting it? It's embarrassing, isn't it? Hallelujah. So I like to read sometimes. Matthew, 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self, talking about Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree at the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live in righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So if we were healed, then we are healed. He paid that price for you to receive that healing. It is available to every person based on what Jesus did at the cross. So what did we see? We saw the brazen serpent and the Passover lamb, didn't we? Hallelujah. Not a feeble was among them. They ran out of Egypt full of money, full of health. Glory to God. If you're healthy and wealthy, you can go. Glory to God. You can go for God. Amen. Glory. We saw that the words of Jesus and the commissions that he gave to the to the apostles, the 12, to the 70 disciples, to the church. He said, what? Go heal the sick. Every manner of sickness, just like I did. You go do it. And we saw it in, where'd we see, what was next? Okay, we saw the actions of Jesus, didn't we? Where he went out and healed them all. He did everything. And then we see it in the redemption plan of God, where Jesus took it to the cross. He took it to that place called done. And therefore, I can stand in a finished work that's already been done. I can believe that I receive when I pray, based on what he said alone. Hallelujah. And that'll work for you in any area of your life. If you'll find what he said, you can stand. You can effectively make a petition to the Father from the desire that you have in your heart to receive a financial miracle, to receive a healing in the body, in the mind, wherever it may be. Maybe you need to receive the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I'm having struggles. Well, it would behoove you and be good to take a look. What does the Bible say about receiving the Holy Spirit? That he sent him. That it's for all. Acts 2:38 and 39. You know, he said it's not just for them there, but all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. He said they spake as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, that would be, you know, you said I've been struggling. Well, I would suggest meditating on those scriptures. Acts 2. Right? Acts 1:8. First of all, you're going to receive power. What am I going to get? Some power. What's going to happen? I'm going to speak in tongues. Acts 2:4. Well, how do I know it's for me? Acts 2:38 and 39 said it was for all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's for you. We could go on. Hallelujah. Acts 10:19. You know, so they, when they recede, they begin to speak in other tongues. Hallelujah. So I'm just sharing some different, you know, it's not just on healing, but you can receive that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that way. Based on what? What he has said. Hallelujah. Because, see, faith comes as we accumulate knowledge. Faith begins to come. We see what God, based on what God said, not on what we see or what other, you know, necessarily what someone has said, but on what God has said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is good news, but this is our first step, realizing, hallelujah, we got to the first point tonight, but realizing that in order to believe that I receive, I must believe that he is, that Jesus is the healer, not that he was, but that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He's a giver. He's going to give to me upon approach. And maybe next time we'll look at that. Where God is the giver. He's not the withholder. He's not trying to hold something back from you. He's trying to get something to you. And when we see what he has already done, it makes it easier for us to believe we've received when we prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just pray tonight. Let's just thank the Father. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you're the healer. That based upon what you have said, we can receive from you, Lord. We can believe that we receive, Lord, when we pray. Lord, whatever we desire for, we're going to have firm ground to be able to receive it, Lord, as we trust you in all your fullness and all that you said. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's hold on. Let's just keep our mind on the Lord tonight. And if you're here tonight and maybe you got a sickness in your body, you want to receive a healing, let's just lift our hands up. Let's just thank him that he's the healer. Just receive it right where you are. Say, I believe, Father. I receive my healing. Not based on what I see, but on what you said. Thank you, Father, that you provided healing for me. I believe that I receive it right now. Now, Father, I thank you for releasing healing into your people tonight. Right now, there's going to be testimony of those that are healed tonight, right now. Because faith comes when we see what you have said. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. And we believe we receive it right now. What do I believe and I receive? I believe I receive the healing power of God into my body right now. Hallelujah. That's what we're believing. The healing power of God is coming into my body right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And now I'm going to stand on your word, Father. I'm going to stand on what you said. And I believe that I have received it. Hallelujah. Amen.